Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Sukkah Lamed Gimel. We are actually 9 lines from the top of the Amud, right at the 2 dots. The Mishnah spoke about Niktam Roishai. We're going back to the Hadas, whose Roish was Niktam. Its top, its point, was clipped off. That's possible because now it's lacking in Hadar. The Roish is the most prominent and noticeable feature in the Hadas, and if that's missing, the Hadas now lacks beauty. It doesn't conform to Hadar, and therefore it's puzzle. Tani Ula Bar Chinina. Ula Bar Chinina presented a brisa. What about in the case where Niktam Roishai lost its top, but also Beitzmara? In its place, in that clip portion, we now see a Tzmara. Tzmara was a date-shaped growth, which covered over the clipped portion. Right at that cut, we have a Tzmara, and now the Hadas looks whole and complete again. Kosher! Because now the Hadar status has been restored. See, the Ran explains that Hadar is personal. It's based on appearance. It looks nice. It looks whole. So the Hadar has now been restored. The Hadas is now back to its former glory and its kosher. By Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya wants to know, Rabbi Yirmiya used to ask all these types of shilas, all types of circumstances and equations. What about the following case? Niktam Roishim Erev Yomtiv. So the tip of the Hadas was clipped off before Yomtiv. Also by Tzmara by Yomtiv Mahu. So Yomtiv arrives, and suddenly we see a Tzmara surfacing on that Hadas. The point is that at the initiation of Yomtiv, it wasn't there, and the Hadas was possible. Do we say that now, where the Tzmara covered up that cut, it's going to reactivate the Hadas and re-enable it for mitzvah use? What's the shaila? Mao, what do we say? Yesh dichei etzol mitzvahs? Oiloi. Shall we apply the concept of dichei to a mitzvah or not? What does dichei mean? Generally, we learn dichei by korbanos. You have a behema which was kadosh b'kedushas korban, and it pushed away. It got a psul, and then for some reason, the psul is no longer. We apply the concept of dichei. It's been tainted. It's been rejected for any future use. So do we say that just as by a carbon, the Ketusha is lost, it's off track, it can't be brought back on track. Once it was pushed away, that rejection gets applied for all time. So just as by a carbon we say that, by a mitzvah as well. And since this Hadas, at the onset of Yontav, which was the Zman HaMitzvah, this Hadas had no potential mitzvah functionality. It wasn't a chefetz that could be used for a mitzvah. It's been pushed away. It's been tainted. Do we say that affects a rejection on it? That makes it not roi any longer. Even after the tzmara comes along and covers up that cut. Yesh dichi etzel mitzvahs. Does the concept of dichi, rejection, apply to a chefetz shal mitzvah as well, just like by a behemel of carbon? Or perhaps we can differentiate. What would be the svara to differentiate? Let's take a look at Rashi first. So let's start from the Rashi, which is 6 lines from the top of the Amud. Also by Tzmara. So the Roish of the Hadas got cut off, and a Tzmara came in its place. Came in Tzmara like a date. Ke'ein ha-nimtza ba'ali arava. As we find sometimes on the arava leaves, pa'amim ba'alin, dava kimin peri, looks like a little fruit, yarek, a green sort of fruit, v'tzayvin by hanoshim tzifein, which the women used to dye their kerchiefs. So just as we find them on the leaves of the Aravis, a similar concept can be found on the cut portion of the Hadas. This Tzmara arrives and covers up that cut. But also by Tzmara be Yomtiv. Now, it didn't happen before Yomtiv. It entered Yomtiv in a state of puzzle. And suddenly now we have a Tzmara that arrives. Mishanegar, after it was bound together, the Lulav with the Hadas with the Arava, and it's Yomtiv. How could we have a Tzmara come by now, once it's off the ground, says Rashi Achidish, the Betolosh Nami Salkabe. Sometimes you have this Tzmara coming along even after it's been detached from the ground. And the Shaila is, do we apply Dichoy? Explains Rashi, Yesh Dichoy Etzel Mitzvahs, Kalimar. Nehegas Teras Dichoy Etzel Mitzvahs. Do we apply dichoy by a chifetz which is designated for mitzvah use? Kishem shenehegas etzel karbonis, just as we apply it by a carbon. The imnira v'nitcha mishenishchata amris yedacha. After shchita, so the animal was nira, it was roi for carbon, and that got pushed away. It's no longer usable. Yedacha, it gets rejected for all time. The sulay hadar chazi, it can no longer be considered suitable. Oh, and I'm here as well by a chavit shal mitzvah. Hayo v'nitcha kishen niktam, since at the point of niktam, when the head got chopped off, it was nitche, it was pasul. Sulay hadar mechsi balias tamara. Even after the tamara comes along and covers up that cut, it can no longer restore the hadas to mitzvah capability because it was rejected. Now Rashi will point out for us that we have two different levels of dichui, which isn't really relevant to our Gemara here. It's going to be nogei on Amud Beis. So there are two levels of dichui. We have a more basic concept of dichui, which is dichui mi'ikara. Initially, it wasn't roi. It never had mitzvah capability. So that's called dichui mi'ikara. And the question there would be, let's say it now becomes suitable. Do we allow it? Or do we say, well, since you were rejected initially, you can no longer become roi. That's dichui mi'ikara, an initial rejection. Then we have a case of nira v'nitche, where it was kasher, and then it got pushed away. Something went wrong, it got pushed away, and now it lost that, whatever factor that pushed it away, it lost it. And now we want to restore it. That's called nira, it was available. V'nitche, it got pushed away. And the question is whether you can restore it and bring it back on track, which is actually a more severe type of dichui. Why? Because, you know, when the thing was not right to begin with, you can still say, well, let's wait until he becomes right. The fact that he wasn't right until now doesn't necessarily mean he was rejected. He just wasn't fit yet. When the time came, he was. That's called dichui mi'ikara. So it's a lower form of dichui. Nira v'nitche is more severe because he was here, he was available. And they got pushed away. That's a real rejection. That's a more severe form of dichui. The Gemara later will actually differentiate between the two. In any case, Rashi says at this point we don't draw a line between the two. We're treating them all equally. Any type of dichui is treated as one. Rashi points out that this case that the Gemara is discussing now is a dichui mi'ikara. Why? This hadas was not roi at all. Meaning, kam yom tov, which is really the trigger point, which is the determinant, the moment when yom tov enters, that's what determines the status of the chayfet. At that point, it was niktam roi shei. It's dichui mi'ikara. And now when a tamara grows over that cut, so now we have to deal with the shaila. Whether we apply dichui to this case. So since it wasn't roi at the onset of Yom Tov, it's pasul for all time, whether we say, well now, it's considered hadar once again, and can be used. Now, as Tosis points out, we find dichui by karbonis, and the question is, do we find it by mitzvahs? So Rashi and Tosis both make that that point of mentioning that by karbonis, it's a given. Dichui is applicable. The question is by mitzvahs. And the difference seems to be because a carbon is a chefetz shal kedusha. So their rejection makes more sense. It's been pushed off track. This chefetz has been rendered unfit for carbon use. So perhaps that carbon becomes tainted for all time. But when it comes to a mitzvah, a chefetz shal mitzvah, which is for the most part a mundane item, it's just designated for the person's fulfillment of a ma'aseh mitzvah with that chayfetz, so perhaps here it's just dependent upon practicalities. If you're going to be mekayim with the mitzvah, if it's kosher, fine. If not, no. Don't necessarily say that once it loses its opportunity, it can't regain it. Well, I'm available. I want to do the ma'aseh mitzvah with this item. It's not so much item or object dependent. It's more the person doing the ma'aseh mitzvah with a chayfetz. and perhaps Dicha won't apply. On the other hand, you can say, well, once he's no longer designated for mitzvah, he's become pasul for mitzvah, become tainted and rejected permanently. So that's the shaila. Let's go back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, what's the question of Rav Yirmiyah? Dichoi by mitzvah, no dichoi, v'tivshe le mehadesnan. Why can't we conclude with clarity from the following Mishnah? Kisov in isgala. You have dam of a chaya or a oif, which needs to be covered. Kisi adam. He covered it, and then it became exposed. Potem lechasois. He no longer needs to cover it. He did a mitzvah. Once he covered it, it's done. Kisov haruach. What if the wind came along and blew some earth over that dam? So it wasn't a manual kisui. It happened naturally. Chayav lechasis. In that case, he has to go ahead and cover the dam again. V'amar Rabba Babrachana, Amar B'yechna, Loishanu. This is only said Elisha Chazar Neskala. If the dam became exposed again, so the wind pushed the offer onto the dam. Now the wind blew the other way and pushed the offer off the dam. And now you have exposed dam. So since it wasn't really covered by a person, so during the kisui, when it was covered, even by wind, okay, it's over, it's covered, nothing you can do. But now that it's been exposed once again, you have to go ahead and cover it again because it never had a kisui through a person. But if the wind never came along and uncovered that dam, once it covered it, there's no need to go ahead and covered again, potem lechasis. Vavinuba. Now we have a kasha on that Mishnah. Ki chazav nesgala amai chayv lechasis. How is it that you tell me the wind comes along and uncovers that dam, which it had previously covered, you have to go ahead and be machasid again? Amai chayv lechasis. Hoyel v'itchi itchi. Think about it. This dam was already pushed away from mitzvah fulfillment. It no longer had mitzvah capacity. It was covered by that wind. So now the wind came along and uncovered it. A mitzvah, kisei adam, no longer applies to that dam, which has been pushed away from mitzvah use. The Gemara figures that when the ruach is machasa that dam, the fact is, it's covered, it's over. Mitzvah, kisei adam, no longer can apply. So even once it becomes revealed again, it's over, it's been rejected, it's been tainted. It no longer has mitzvah capability. So that was the kasha on the Mishnah. We learn from here, ain't dichei etzel mitzvahs. You're right. The concept of dichei doesn't apply to a chepetz of a mitzvah. Okay, says the Gemara, we have a clarity. Pretty clear that dichei doesn't apply to a mitzvah. So what was Rav Papa's, Rav Yirmiyah's suffix? Answers the Gemara, Rav Yirmiyah knew about Rav Papa. The Rav Papa gufa meboilei. He was unsure what Rav Papa had in mind. Mivshet Pashat Lei. Was it clear to Rav Papa that the Tana of that Mishnah in Chulin regarding Kisi Adam held that the Ein Dichei Etzel Mitzvahs? He held definitively that rejection doesn't apply to mitzvahs in all cases. Loshna Lekula, whether it results in a Kula, such as in the case of the Tumara growing on that Hadas. You can be yaitzu with it, lashon the chumrah, or whether it results in a chumrah, such as obligating kisui hadam. In that case, so is that what the Tana meant? There's no dichei by mitzvahs irrelevant other circumstance. Or perhaps the Tana, which required kisui hadam, really had an uncertainty. It was also mesupik whether or not dichei is applied to a mitzvah. And therefore, when it comes to a chumra, like being chayiv in kisi adam, after adam has been uncovered by the wind, yeah, the chumra amrina, go ahead and do it. We don't apply dichui by a mitzvah if it results in a chumra, but lekula le amrina. But perhaps when it comes to a kula, like in the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, can you go ahead and use that hadas, which was unfit at the onset of yantav and now became kasha through a tamara? Lekula le amrina. We don't allow it to be used. Perhaps dichui in this case does apply. Take it, and therefore we leave it as an unanswered question. Lema ketanoi, says the Gemara. Perhaps this very shaila of whether or not dichui is applied to a mitzvah is dependent upon a machlekes tanoim. We learned in the Mishnah. If there are more berries on that hadas, more berries than leaves, right? 100 berries, 99 leaves. Hadas is puzzle. If he picks off those berries, right? He's memait the berries. Hadas is kasher. But you're not meant to do it on Yom Tov. Why? It's actually a machlokes rishonim. Rashi over here learns it's a shvus min derabanan because it appears like he's being machsher, he's being mesakein a kli, he's enabling the hadas for use. And Tosis and Yuma as well learns it's only min derabanan. The Meiri learns it's really a malacha d'oraisa. It's makabah patish. He's finishing a prize, he's completing a utensil, he's producing something, he's enabling the hadas for mitzvah use. In any case, you're not meant to do this on Yom Tov. However, says the Brice, over reliktam, let's say he transgressed, he went and he picked those berries, puzzle. The hadas now is puzzle. Divrei Reb Elezer ber Tzadik. So according to the Shita, even after he picked off those berries, it's puzzle. So that's Shita Reb Elezer ber Tzadik. V'chachamim achshirim, they say it's fine. Now, Savrua, the Bnei Yeshiva, who wanted to suggest that the Machlekes Tanoim in this Brisa revolves around our Shaila of whether or not Dichu is applied to a mitzvah, they figured like this. The only issue that could be of relevance in this Brisa, the only concern is Dichu. There were no other concerns. So they discounted all the other concerns. Savrua, they figured, the Kuli Amal Lulav Ein Tzorach Eged. All agree, meaning Rav Lezer, Tzadik, Chacham agree, there's no chiv to bind, to tie together the lulav with the hadas and the arav. So there's no doing, there's no fashioning, there's no asiyah when it comes to lulav. In which case, even if he went ahead and he already tied together the lulav with the hadas and the arav, and at that point the hadas had tons of berries on it, we don't consider that to be a problem. That's not the issue here. What could be the issue? There's a problem with the asiyah, because when he bound it together, when he created that bundle, it was puzzle. It was full of berries. So even if after he picks it, it's already after the fact, it's been bundled together with psul. No, that's not the issue. Because lulav ain't tzarech eged. You don't have to bundle together the lulav. There's no chiv to tie it together with the hadas. So there's no asiyah at all applied to the in the making of the lulav. So that can't be an issue. Now, if you propose that all agree eged is part of the procedure, you have to tie it together, there has to be an asiyah. Still, that won't really present a concern. Meaning, if you tied it, and then afterwards pick the berries. Why? None of these tanaim learn lulav from sukkah. Whereby sukkah, it says, the chsiv ba tasa, you meant to actually make it when it's kosher. You have to do it in a way that enables the sukkah for use. V'lo min ha'asur, as opposed to something which was merely formed after the fact, circumstantially. It has to be manually made in a way which enables the sukkah to be used. That's by sukkah. But by lulav, tie it together and pick the berries later. So in any case, these issues of tasa, asiyah, don't apply to the hadas here. So what then is the discussion? What's the machlokes here? He has a hadas tied together with his lulav. It's already Yom Tov. He wants to pick the berries. Reb Elezer says it's pasul. Chacham say kosher. What's the point of machlokes? What's the background? Myla b'kemiflegi, apparently, the machlokes is based on our shaila of dichi. Demand the pasul savar. Amrinon yesh dichi eitzel mitzvahs. Reb Elezer, who says pasul, he holds dichi affects a mitzvah as well. Well, here, there was dichi. Why was it dichi? Because it's already Yom Tov. This man ha-mitzvah has already arrived, and this hadas was puzzle, it's full of berries. It's been rejected from the get-go, from the initial moment of Yom Tov. It was unsuitable for mitzvah use. Picking the berries afterwards, that's too late. It's been thrown off track. You can't restore it. Yesh dichi etzel mitzvahs. Uman de machshir. Sover, the Rabbanon hold. Lo yamrinan. Yesh dichi etzel mitzvahs. We don't apply dichi by mitzvah. Go ahead and pick the berries and use it. Even though it was not roy at the onset of Yom Tov. When Yom Tov arrives, this thing's full of berries. That's okay. It's all about practicalities. It's kosher now. Go ahead and use it. It would seem that our shaila of whether or not dichui can affect a chevet shal mitzvah is actually a machlekes tanoim. Says Gemara, no, not necessarily. Loi, the kuli amulei amrin yesh dichui etzal mitzvah. Perhaps, according to both shittas, we don't apply dichui to a mitzvah. So what then is the point of contention? Says the Gemara, let's go back to asiya issues. All hold that lulav needs eget, which means you have to go ahead and bind together the lulav with the hadas. And asiya is part of the procedure. The question is, how much of an asiya do you need by lulav? Do you actually learn lulav from sukkah? And just as by sukkah it has to be manually made bekashrus, likewise on the lulav, an asiya bekashrus is mandated. And therefore, once you bound the lulav with the hadas, which was pasul, you did the asiya with pasul, it won't help you to come back and pick those berries. So that's the shittas of Elazar. Mar sava yafina lulav misukkah. That's Rabbi Elazar. You derive lulav from sukkah. It needs to be an asiya, a manual enablement. You have to go ahead and enable this thing manually, l'shem mitzvah. That has to happen before you bind it. So the binding is considered an asiya, the kashrus. Umar sava yafina lulav misukkah. Whereas the Chacham say, we don't learn lulav from sukkah. By sukkah, there's a loch of tas of aloy ben asli. You have to build up bekashrus. But by lulav, just bind it together. Even if it's, at this point, full of berries, that's okay. Pick them afterwards. And it's kosher. V'bayisim, another pshat can be, yisvir lan lulav tzarech eged, if lulav would need to be bound, the kuli alma yalfina lulav misukkah. All would agree. We connect it to sukkah. That's so similar. In each case, you need an asiya, and just as by sukkah, it has to be asiya bekashrus. Likewise, over here, the binding has to be when the hadas is enabled for mitzvah use. There wouldn't have been a machlekes to begin with. So, what then is the point of machlekes? Vacha belulav tzarech eged kamiflegi. There's a fundamental shaila here. Is there a din of eged by lulav? Is there a din asiya to begin with? Rabbi Lezer says yes. Therefore, you have to pick those berries before you do the asiya, which has to be bekashrus. Chacham said, "There's no din eged. There's no din asiya. Come yantiv, you have berries, pick them off. It's okay. Because the asiya doesn't apply to a lulav. And actually, we find this machlekes elsewhere. Ubeplukta dan tanoi. It's in line with another machlekes tanoi." Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban, whether or not Eged is a requirement, the sign. Lulav bein Agud, bein she'ein Agud, kosher. Whether or not the Lulav is bound together with the other minim, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Agud, kosher. She'ein Agud, pasul. If it's bound together, it's kosher. Otherwise, it's pasul. My time at Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? Yolof lekicha lekicha ma'agudas ezev. He learns through a gzera shava. From Agudas ezev, the bundle of grass is used in Mitzrayim to smear the dam on the doorpost. By lulav it says lukachtem lachem. Uksev hasim over there, and Mitzrayim it says lukachtem agudas ezev. And we learn malhalan aguda, just as over there it was a bundle of grass. Avkan aguda, likewise over here, lukachtem lachem has to be one single bundle, one single unit. Rabbanu less lulikicha lukicha. According to Rabbanu, we don't have this xerah shava, which is something you have to learn from your rebbeim. They didn't have that mesura. So according to them, binding is not necessary. If so, man tana lahod tana rabban, who's the author of the following brayso, which says lulav mitzvah la'ayd, it's a mitzvah to bind the lulav. Vila yagdei kasher, and even without eger, it's still kasher. Who is this shita? Mani, who? Who's speaking? E Rabbi Yehuda, is this Rabbi Yehuda? Kilo yagdei, am I kasher? If he failed to bind it, why is it kasher? It's critical. Eger is a requirement. Irabbanon. So you'll tell me it's Rabbanon. Well, why get involved in binding at all? My mitzvah covet. What mitzvah did he do? Rabbanon don't require igud. So it's not a mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda considers it to be vital and critical. The Raisa says, it's a mitzvah to do it. But even if he neglects, it's still kosher. Whose shita is this? Lehman Rabbanon. Certainly it's the shita's Rabbanon. although it's not vital, but it's a mitzvah. This is my Hashem, and I will beautify myself before Him. Tying together the minim presents it neatly and nicely, it beautifies the mitzvah. So although it's not mi'akiv, but it is a mitzvah l'chadchil. Okay, let's just stop for a second. So we had the machlekes by Avar v'liktan b'yamtiv. Rav Lezer Ratzadik says pasul, Chacham say kasher, and we had several ways to understand the machlekes. Initially, the Gemara figured, you know what the machlekes is tully in? Our question, whether or not dichui affects a mitzvah. So the Gemara figured, bullshitters hold lulav ein tzarach eged. There's no din asiya. And even if there is eged, we don't learn from sukkah where it needs to be an asiya bekashrus. So asiya is not an issue here. That's not the concern of the Brisa. What then is the machlekes? Apparently, the shaila is whether or not to apply dichui. Rabbeinu says, yesh dichui til mitzvahs. If you pick the berry on Yantav, it's too late. Because once Yantav arrives, that's its man mitzvah, and that triggers the mitzvah, and that determines the status of this madas. If it's not roy, it becomes rejected. Chacham say, when it comes to a mitzvah, we say, ein dichui til mitzvahs in this kasha. That's what the Gemara figured. The world comes back and says, no, perhaps all shitas agree that ain dichi etzel mitzvahs. So what's the point of machlekes? It's an asiya discussion. So firstly, we had a shaila of whether or not we learn from sukkah, meaning perhaps all agree that lulav needs to be bound. The question is, how far do you have to go when it comes to that asiya? Rav Lezer says, we learn from sukkah. When you bind it, it has to be enabled for mitzvah use. If you bind it full of berries, it's too late. Chacham say, we don't learn from sukkah. Binding is sufficient even. If at that point of binding, it was not yet roy for mitzvahs. Second shot was, it's more basic. The question is whether you need eged. Rav Lezer says, you need eged. And therefore, an asiya has to be done properly. Bekashrus. You have to pick the berries before you bind together the lulav. According to Chachamim, it's kasha because there is no din eged by lulav. Even though it's l'chadchila, but it's not mi'akev, it's not really a vital component in the lulav mitzvah, and therefore it doesn't relate to asiya. You're not forming anything, you're not creating, not fashioning anything. So pick your berries whenever you want, and your lulav is kashim. Continues the Gemara. Aisha hayu anava merum. Let's go back to the Mishnah. We had a hadas full of berries, more berries than leaves. Mishnah says it's puzzle, it's lacking in hadar, it's no longer beautiful, and the Gemara will tell us we're speaking about blackberries. And therefore they interfere with the greenness of the hadas. The other mefarshim say it's actually bottle, but right, if you have more blackberries than leaves, the leaves are bottle. So whatever the reason is, the hadas is puzzle. Amr of Chizda, Dover said the following thing, Rabbeinu HaGadol Amr. Our great Rebbe said it. Who's that? Rashi says it's Rav. So he said the following statement, V'hamakam yiyah be'ezri. He gave him a bracha. Hashem should help him out. He should have siyata d'shmaya. So what did he say? Lo yishono. This concern is only el b'makam echad. When all those berries are concentrated in one area. And they're really noticeable. Aval b'shnayim ha'shleshim ha'kayma is kasha. But if they're dispersed throughout the hadas, you have them distributed two or three places around the hadas, it's fine. Amalei Rava, Shnayim Shleisha Mekaymas Havim Enomar, Apostle. I don't understand. When it's distributed, it also is lacking in beauty. It's Menomar, it's spotted like a leopard, like a Nomar. Of course it's Apostle. That can't be true. Elo says the Gemara I Itmar, if we learned the Halacha, Hachi Itmar must have been in this way. The Mishnah says, Aisha hayu anava merubin ma'olav pasul. If you have more berries than leaves, it's pasul. Amar Rav Chizda, Davar said the following thing, Rabbeinu HaGadol Amri. Rav said it. V'amakim yeh be'ezri, shav se'at l'shmai. And what did he say? Lo yishonu. Berries only pose a concern, elo anava b'shchayres. When those berries are black, in which case, they interfere with the green color of the leaves. Aval anava b'yiroikais. But if those berries are green, minne da hadas nenu. The kasher. It's the same color as the hadas. it matches and it's kosher. Amar Rav Papa, adumos. What if the berries are black? Sorry, they're red. Kishchir is dami. We treat them like black because red and black are close enough, and even red is considered something dissimilar to green, in which case it interferes. How do we know that red is a forerunner to black? Damar b'chanina, high dam, regarding the dam of an isha. So if it's red, it makes her tummy. So b'chanina tells us, let's say she has black dam, high dam shachar. Adamu, we consider it like red blood. Why? Ela shalaka, because it's the red dam which got discolored. So you see that red and black are close in nature. And therefore, when you have, just as you have blackberries interfering with your green hadas, likewise, red berries as well don't really match up with the green, and they're considered like black, and the hadas is pasul. So bottom line is, if we have green berries, you're okay. Black or red is problematic, and it's irrelevant of whether they're located in one location or dispersed throughout the hadas. The Mishnah tells us, you're not meant to pick those berries on Yom Tov, but in Miyatan Kasha. Right? So Mishnah says, if we have more berries than leaves, it's possible. V'imiyatan kasher. Right? If he picked those berries and he reduced them, so now the berries are outnumbered by the leaves, it's kasher. V'ein mematan miyantav. However, not meant to do it on Yom Tov. Says, well, let's analyze the Mishnah. And this really relates back to the question of dichoy, of rejection. So if you pick those berries, the hadas is now kasher. When did he pick the berry? Before binding the hadas with the lulav or afterwards? The Matinu Emas, when did he do this? Did it happen before he tied the hadas with the lulav? Pshita, of course. Of course it's kosher. Why would you think otherwise? There's no reason to make it possible. He fixed it and he used it. Apparently it was after he bound it with the lulav. So during the Igud, the hadas was possible, full of berries. After Igud, he came and he fixed it. Here we have a classic example of something which was initially rejected. During Igud, which is really the trigger point, that's when he's turning it into a lulav shel mitzvah. It's possible. It's full of berries. It's dochei mi'ikara. Still, what does the Mishnah say? You come back and pick those berries. Tivshet mina. You could conclude from this, an initial rejection doesn't affect the chevet shel mitzvah. It can bounce right back and be used. That's a raya to our shayla. Loilam basal da'agdi. So the Gemara, no. We're speaking that he picked the berries after binding the hadas together to the lulav. But let's just fix up your perception. You figure that igud is considered creating, fashioning. And that's a trigger point. That point determines the status of the hadas. No, that's incorrect. Because savar eged hazmana ba'almahu. The Mishnah figures, the Mishnah holds that binding together, the act of binding, doesn't really create a new entity until Yom Tov comes around. But it's still before Yom Tov. It's just a preparation for Yom Tov. It's true. It's true, 100%. Eged creates a new bundle, a new entity. But it's a pending entity. It's awaiting the arrival of Yom Tov. That's when it's chal, that's when it gets activated. But if he's simply binding it, and it's not yet Yom Tov, that's really considered like a hazmana ba'alma. He's preparing it for mitzvah use. Vazmana ba'alma, lav klum. Merely hazmana is lav klumu. It's not really going to affect the status of the chayfetz. So even though he bound a berry-laden hadas into his lulav, he did eged, which is a ma'isa, which is an asiya. He fashioned a new entity. But it's pending. It hadn't yet been activated. And therefore, even if that hadas is not yet kosher, as long as he comes back a few minutes later, picks those berries, and come Yom Tov, this aguda is ready for use. In this case, no dichri has ever taken place. So you have no right. Adichim Yikara is not a problem. This wasn't Dichi, because he picked it before Yom Tov. And when the Zman of Mitzvah arrived, it was perfectly suitable, perfectly right, and able for Mitzvah use. And this is different than our case, the case of the Hadas, which was clipped off, and a Tzmara came along. That happened on Yom Tov, right? When the Zman Mitzvah arrived, the Hadas was puzzled. On Yom Tov itself, you find a Tzmara, which grew over that cut. That's a question of Dichi. Because when the Zman Mitzvah arrived, when Sukkot began, this Hadas was puzzled. That's a good shaila. Does Dichi affect the Mitzvah or not? But in this case, he picked it before Yom Tov. That's not an issue. So Mishnah continues, V'ein mematrim b'Yom Tov. However, on Yom Tov itself, you're not meant to pick those berries. It's a shuster rabbanon, where is a deraisa. What does it sound like? Ha'ava v'likton, my kasha. Perhaps the Mishnah is telling you that don't do it, but if you did it, it's kasher. Oh, now we're going to have another riot to our shayla. So although the Hadas was puzzle, and coming into Yom Tov, it was sort of tainted, because it was not enabled for mitzvah use, it was full of berries. What does the Mishnah tell us? If he goes and picks those berries on Yom Tov, it's kosher. The Achshur Emas. Let's analyze the case. The Achshur, when did it get black? Where we discussed the fact that only black ones interfere. The Achshur Emas, when did this concern arise? When did it become black? Even with the Achshur Me'esmoil, shall we say it happened yesterday? So it came into Yom Tov in this status, the status of puzzle. Dochim Yikarahu. Here's another case of an initial rejection. When Yom Tov arrives, this thing was puzzle. And what does the Mishnah tell us? Or how do we imply from the Mishnah? Picking it on Yom Tov is okay. If he does it, it's kasher. Tifshet Minah, you can conclude from this. Dochim Yikar Lehavadichu. Here we have a riot, our shiloh. We see Dochim Yikar, something which was initially rejected, meaning at the initiation of Yom Tov, it was unsuitable. That unsuitability doesn't affect the long-term prospects of this hadas. Apparently, it got black on Yom Tov itself. So in this case, it's not dochem yikara, because when Yom Tov arrives, this hadas was kosher. It had berries, but they were green, which are fine. They match up with the leaves. They started drying and maturing on Yom Tov itself. So now when they got ripe and they got black, the Hadas is no longer used. It's no longer kosher. And now the Mishnah tells us, if he should pick it on Yom Tov, he can restore the Hadas to its former self, make it kosher. Oh, nireh v'nitchu. Here we have a case where it was roi at a certain point in time. Beginning of Yom Tov was roi before it turned black, and then it was pushed away from its use when it turned black. And what do we learn? This thing can be restored by removing the berries. So this is actually a more severe form of dichi, as we mentioned earlier, because it was roi and it got pushed away, and it could still bounce back and come back. Shamas mino nira v'nitche. You can learn from here that an item which was roi and then got pushed away, chayze v'nira, can be restored once again. That's a big chiddush. So either way, you have a raya. Whatever the case is, you have a right to some aspect of our shayla of dichi by mitzvah, right? If the berries were black yesterday, entering Yom Tov, being unsuitable for mitzvah, that's called dichi mikar, and that works. You can pick those berries. So the berries blackened today. Okay, so then it was roy at the onset of Yom Tov, it was nira, then it became nitcha. And by picking the berries, you can reactivate the hadas. That's nira v'nitcha, chayze v'nira. Either way, you have a definitive clarity on our shayla. Says, no. Let's go back to the first option. They blackened before Yom Tov, and it entered Yom Tov being puzzled. Picking the berries on Yom Tov could be machshir. Okay, so you learn from here. Dochi miyikar lavadichi. Initial rejection doesn't affect the chayfetz. That you see. Tifshepinah. That you can conclude from the Mishnah. True? I agree. I grant you that much. Because dichi miyikar is not so severe. But in a case where something was roi for mitzvah use, and then gets pushed away, to allow that to come back, that's already a bigger chiddush. Lo yisif shayt, you cannot necessarily learn from here. So certainly we learn one thing from the Mishnah, that adichim yikar is not a concern when it comes to the hadas. We're speaking where the hadas turned black yesterday, so it entered yontif in a state of paslus. That's adichim yikar. We learn from the Mishnah that if he should go ahead and pick those berries on yontif, he can be masha that hadas. Apparently, adichim yikar won't affect a mitzvah. Now, Tosis points out, we cannot bring a raya from this halacha, the hadas with the berries, to our question of the hadas with the tamara growing over that cut spot. A big difference between two cases. Tayson Lam Gimel Muralf, Divrei Masal Niktam. He says, by berries, it's biyode. It was in his hands, within his ability to remove those berries. And therefore he says, it's different. It's a lower level of dichi, as opposed to the case where the niktam roishe ended up with a tamara growing. It's not within his ability. He can't make the tamara grow. He can't fix up that hadas. So in the case of the berries, since it's biyada to fix it up, so although it's dicha miyikara, because it entered yontif when it was pasul, but that pasulus could have been manipulated. He could have removed that psul. He could have removed the berries. So that's not such a severe form of dicha, and therefore, as it says, all of the Gemara does conclude that from this halach of the berries, we see dicha miyikara is not an issue by a mitzvah, but that's specifically in a case where it's biyada. Not necessarily could you compare it to the case of tomorrow where it's not biyada. That's an interesting point that Tosis points out here. So in summary, let's just go back to the initial shaila. Would a dichoy affect a chevet shel mitzvah? Oh, so the conclusion is like this. When it comes to l'chumra, we say no. Such as in the case where the ruach covered over the dam and then it got exposed again. He's chayv to be machasa. Since over there it's a chumra, we assume dichoy doesn't affect the mitzvah. When it comes to a kula, such as in the case where the hadas was clipped off and a tamara arrives on yomtiv, since at the entry point of yomtiv, which is the initial zman mitzvah, this hadas was not roi, it was dicha miyikara, can it be used now? I have a question mark. We're not sure. However, the Gemara did conclude that in the case where it's biyade l'sakin, such as where he was memayit the anavav, he removed the berries from his hadas on yontiv. Here it's another case of kula, but here it's different because it was biyade to remove that interference. So if it's just dicha miyikara, which is not as severe as nirav v'nitcha, meaning it was never right to begin with, it comes into yontiv being pasul. So then by removing those berries, we say it's kasher. But in a case where it was nirav v'nitcha, such as where coming into yontiv, it was still green, and then it blackened. So it was roi at one point, and then became not roi. That's more of an outright rejection. I don't want you. So in that case, we're not sure what happens once he picks those berries. Continues in Maratana Rabban, we learned in a brayse, ein mematan b'yomtiv. You're not meant to remove those berries on yomtiv. Mishum Rab Lezer b'shimen amru. It was said in the name of Rab Lezer, the son of Rab Shimon, mematan. You may pick berries from your hadas on yomtiv. Welcome, Masaka and Mana B'yamtiv. How can you do that? You're fixing the utensil. You're enabling the hadas for use. Amar of Ashi Kigon Shalokhtan Achil was speaking that he picked it for personal consumption. These berries are edible. That's what he had in mind. For Rab Lezer of Shimon, Sublokavur, Rab Lezer, the son of Rab Shimon, who allows this, he's in line with his father's Shita, Rab Shimon himself. Do Amar Dover Shein Miskavin Mutter. That a person may engage in a masa, which is a melacha, if he's not trying to do the melacha. What's a classic example? Dragging a bench along the ground, along the offer. And he's just trying to drag the bench. He's trying to get the bench. He's not trying to dig a furrow in the ground. Rav Shimon says, Davar Shein Maskavan, even though there's a subsequent malacha resulting from your action, doesn't matter. That's not what you have in mind. It's not malachas machshevas. It's not part of your ma'aseh. So we don't consider you to be responsible for that. That explains our halacha. Picking berries from the hadas, even though you're enabling the hadas for mitzvah use, but your kavanah is to eat. Therefore, it's mutter. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Abaye v'Rav Adamar Tavaye. Abaye and Rav both explained. There's one exception to Reb Shimon's heter. Maider Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon certainly agrees. The Pesik Reishay v'lo Yamas. He can't say, well, I'm going to remove the head of the animal. Pesik Reishay v'lo Yamas. I don't want it to die. It's inevitable. That's not called Ovish in Miskavin. Rashi says, Kim Miskavin Chashivle. That's exactly what you had in mind. True, you don't need the animal to die, but you can't have one without the other. It's one and the same. So if you're removing the head, you can't claim, well, I have no interest in the animal dying. It's called misgaven. Likewise, in our case, picking berries off of hadas. True, he's doing it la'achila, but he's enabling the hadas for mitzvah use. That's an automatic result. It's like psikration. So why is it mut? Hachemai Skinner was speaking about a case, Islei Shana Achriti. He already has another hadas. So in this case, all he's trying to do is pick the berries la'achila. And especially according to Rashi's pshat, that it's only a shvus, it doesn't appear like he's doing a malacha. Everybody sees that he has a hadas available. He doesn't need this for mitzvah. In which case we say that there's no issur d'rabbanan at all. Go ahead and pick those berries. And even if somebody could come along and decide to use a hadas, it's mutter, it's kosher. Tanu rabban, huter egdei b'yamtiv. Suppose he tied his lulav with his hadas and a rubber properly, using a proper knot, and then on Yom Tov it unraveled, it came apart. Oigdoi kagudashi yarek. He can retie it, but only loosely, like a bundle of vegetables. Meaning he'll take a strap and wrap it around, tuck it in. You can actually tie it. Kesher is a malacha. Can't do it on Yom Tov. V'amai, says the Gemara, why suffice with just doing a gudashi yarek style? Le'anvi me'anav. Do something better. Go and bow it, make a bow which is stronger. Hamani Rabbi Yudi. This price is Rabbi Yudi. The Amar Niva Kshirim Al Yosei. He holds that even an Aniva is considered like a Kesher, as discussed in Gemara Shabbos. And therefore, you can't make an Aniva. I Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the case, who followed Rabbi Yehuda, then what good is Oigdei Kagudah Shel Yorok, just wrapping a band around it? Egged Ma'al Yisaboy. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to make a true Egged. You have to really knot them together, bundle them together with a true kasher. Otherwise, you haven't done the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Hai Tana, this Braisa, Sovolo Kavasei Bechad. On the one hand, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that what? That a bow is tantamount to a kasher, and therefore that can't be done. That's not an option. Upal Gale Bechad, but on the other hand, he disagrees with him. Rabbi Yehuda holds, tying together with a proper knot is a requirement for the lulav, as we discussed in Amar Aleph. He learns that from Agudas Esav, needs to be Agudah Achas. This Tana doesn't hold to that. This Tana holds like the Chachamim. It's a nice thing. It's Zekeli Vanveu to have them neatly lined up, neatly tied together. But it's not critical, and therefore, if he sees that his Egged comes apart, he should just go ahead and do some sort of improvised wrap. In which case, he's not doing a malacha, but he is being mekayim somewhat the concept of igud. Let's go to Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom. Actually, 11 lines from the bottom. Hai Tana Savel Kavasei Bechada. On the one hand, the Tana holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Daniva Kshira Hilin in Shabbos. We consider Aniva like a Kesher. So that's out of the picture. Upolo Galei Belulav, the answer of Egged. But he holds that you don't have to have Egged by Lulav. Says Rashi Shaminim Mihacha, we learn from this Braisa, the Be'inim Belulav Kesher Gomer. When you do Igud by the Lulav, it has to be a proper knot. Sheikshah Shnei Rashi Egged Vaguda, Shnei Rashi Egged. You have to actually tie them together with a proper knot. Right? It's Mashma from the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda. A true Egged is only a proper knot. And even according to the Tana of this Braisa, it seems like he already tied it properly before Yom Tov, and then it came apart. So now he's stuck. He can't make a proper knot. But ideally, a proper knot is in place. If he does a kagudah shel yarek, just wrapping the band around, tucking it in, that's not a proper egged. Listen to this Rashi. Even the Rabbanon, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, even a untied lulav is fine. Why do they agree? We learned this in Amar Aleph. The mitzvah la'ayde. It's a mitzvah to tie it together. The sani la'el, as we learned today, b'shem zekeil ma'aveyu. V'okim na'ki rabbanon. Oh, so Rashi has a chiddush here. That's certainly according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need a proper kesha, but even according to rabbanon, it's not critical to have igud, but if you can do igud because of zekeil ma'aveyu, do it right. Do it with a kesha. Now, there's a shaila brought down Paiskim regarding the case, the lulav case, which is made of braided, woven lulav branches. They call it a kaishikal. Can that be used for egged? Now, we pass on to Rabbanon. It's only because of Zekeli Vanveu. Problem is, it's not a kesher. Right? You could just slip the lulav in and out. It's not properly tied. So some Paiskim say that you can't use it. It's mashman, the Gemara, over and over in Rashi, that Eged is really a kesher. It has to really be tied together. And this doesn't really conform. But some Paiskim, this is going back hundreds of years, say, yeah, according to Rabbanon, you don't need a proper Eged. You need Zekeli Vanveu, to look nice and presentable. Putting it in a handle, in a case, you don't get nicer than that. And certainly that conforms to Hidur Mitzvah. The Chasam Sofer disagrees. He writes, it's not for us to define the concept of noi, what the Torah had in mind. And perhaps he means, the noi can be applied in different ways. Perhaps the point of igud is to bind together the different types of the mitzvahs, different types of yidin. The Gemara says that each min represents a different segment in Klal Yisrael, tzaddikim, the maratzim, etc. So perhaps the noi here is more symbolic, a spiritual thing. Bind them together, have them joined together by achdus. So it's not for us to decide how to apply the concept of Eged. If the Gemara clearly speaks about a kesher being required for Eged, so who's to say that this kesher can suffice? It's not really a knot. You're not really tying it together. It's lying nicely and neatly, but they're not really tied together. It's something you can do on Yom Tov, in and out. It's not an issue of a kesher. So he disagrees. You cannot use this handle. The Mishnah Berurah brings that some do and some don't, and it seems like the Minhag Olam is to go ahead and use these handles. Some actually machmer that in addition to the handle, they'll take another strap, a little branch, and they'll actually tie together, whether over the, probably under the handle, tie together the lulav hadas and arava to be mekayim, the concept of eged, according to all shittas. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. We started with the chiddush that a tmara, which grew over the niktan roshay, can restore the hadar status. Rabbi Yimer had a shaila for us. What happens if it was niktan before Yom Tov and on Yom Tov? The tmara arrives to cover up the cut. Shall we say dichoy by a chavit shal mitzvah or not? The conclusion was, when it comes to l'chumra, we don't say dichoy. When it comes to l'kula, we have a shaila. When it's a case of l'kula, but it's biyada l'sakan, such as a fellow who picked the berries off his hadas on Yom Tov. So if it was dochim yikar, if it was never really roy until this point, which is not such a severe form of dichoy, the Gemara concludes it works. When it's nira v'nitcha, meaning if it only happened on Yom Tov, so it was roy at the beginning of Yom Tov and then became rejected, that's a more severe form of rejection that we're unsure about. Now regarding berries on the hadas, so we learned that green ones are fine, they match up with the rest of the hadas. Black, or for that matter red as well, interfere with the hadas, irrelevant of location, whether they're all concentrated on one spot or distributed throughout the hadas. We had a machlekes in a case where he was memait, the anavav, he picked the berries on Yom Tov himself. According to Ulezer at Tzadik, it's pasul. According to Chacham is kasher, we had several ways to understand the machlekes. We have the brice at the end of the daf discussing whether or not you can actually pick those berries off on Yom Tov. Is there an isser of malacha or shvus? Tanakhama says you can't do it. Reb Shimon says you can. And the Gemara's maskana is because it was Einim Eskaven. He was doing it la'achila and he had another one. It's not considered a tikkun. We had a machlokes regarding iguda of lulav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's required. According to Rabban, it's only a mitzvah mufchar. And it's pretty clear from the Gemara that according to Rabbi Yehuda, and some say even according to Rabbanon, in order to be mekayim igud, it has to be a proper kesher, kesher shekayama, which can only be done during the weekdays. Haslacha rabba to you and kol tov.